My name is Gerald Eastwood, and I'm concurrently publishing an ebook, a Kindle book entitled The Pentagon UFO Report. It contains all of the original declassified material from the government and has amazing revelations. It's in easy-to-read format and available on Amazon shortly. Depending on when you listen to this podcast, it may already be there. We are about to enter the world of the unknown and explore topics with my own variety of non-paradigm thinking. I am an investigative reporter and a writer. I've worked at the Pentagon. Let's go ahead and enter this esoteric world. I recall one close encounter in 1968 involved the crew of an American patrol boat. It reported two glowing circular craft following them in the DMZ that separated North and South Vietnam. A second patrol boat then witnessed a flash of light, followed by an explosion that totally destroyed the first patrol boat. There was a close observation report of an unknown aerial craft. The military was interested in UFOs because they had capabilities far above anything that we had, and they wanted to find out what the technology was and, frankly, who they belonged to, according to former Air Force intelligence officer Captain George Filer. While in Vietnam, Filer, who had a top-secret clearance, gave daily briefings to General George S. Brown, deputy commander for air operations in Vietnam. Frequently, the Viet Cong or North Vietnamese would be attacking an outpost, and I would explain that, and we would have ground air support, particularly at night, where we'd go in there with these gunships, and I would give briefings on all of that, Filer said. Some of the time, there would be unidentified craft over the DMZ. You'd have an aircraft flying along doing around 500 knots, and a UFO comes alongside and does some barrel rolls around the aircraft, and then flies off at three times the speed of one of the fastest jets we have in the Air Force. So obviously, it has a technology far in advance of anything we have. I would be told this unofficially. People tell you a lot of things that they don't put in writing or sign their name to. There was always this part of UFOs that, if you got too interested, it could mess up your career. And this is true today even with commercial pilots. I've also heard from people serving in Afghanistan saying they've seen UFOs. End of quotes. And what I have heard personally is that after this incident, patrol boats and aircraft as well were told if they encountered unidentified aerial phenomena, just leave it well enough alone. Now, the menacing side of UFOs is not restricted to military encounters. Luis Barroso Fernandez was a farmer living on a rural property near the town of Quixada in the state of Ceará in Brazil. It was April 3, 1976, when Fernandez was on his ranch. It was just after 2 a.m. As he made his way along the property, he saw metallic craft looking like a disc and hovering over a nearby field. Suddenly, the craft shot a blindingly bright beam of light at him. At the same time, two humanoid-type beings aimed torchlights at him. Then they re-entered the craft and it sped out of sight. He said he was unable to move. As soon as the beam of light hit him, he lost consciousness. He awoke the next day and had difficulty breathing and head trauma. One side of his body was burned like a sunburn. A doctor in town examined him. The doctor had no explanation. Over the coming weeks, Fernandez seemed to lose his mental acuity. He was examined by various doctors and psychiatrists. His health continued to deteriorate. Finally, in 1993, in a vegetative state, he passed away from unknown causes. UFO researcher Philip Mantle, author of the book UFO Contacts in Brazil, has reported this bizarre incident. Let's look at another. On a Nevada test range in October of 1951, a nuclear test was about to occur. Yucca Flat was the name of the testing ground. Several military witnessed 18 silvery rotating disks that hovered over the area for 15 minutes. It was 6 a.m. A scheduled nuclear test was due to take place later that morning. And 15 minutes before the test began, the triangular formation appeared overhead. One witness also said he saw several strange creatures in the area at the time of the sighting. Both the creatures and the craft disappeared as quickly as they arrived, just minutes before the nuclear explosion occurred. No sounds were involved. They disappeared in a matter of seconds. Let's think about that for a moment. They disappeared in seconds. No aircraft, rocket, or man-made object can disappear in seconds. It's physically impossible. Or is it? Are UFOs actually real objects? There are reports of UFOs down through the centuries. There are reports of U.S. visitors as far back as the Middle Ages. Could they be actual extraterrestrial visitors, or could they be something more? According to the Pentagon UFO report, UFOs, whatever their source, are visible to the naked eye, and they have been detected by radar and satellites. Electronic sensors track their movements. They have been photographed. Does that make them real in one sense? The answer is yes. But what reality do they represent? When we study the cases we will review today, which include close encounters of the third kind, let's ask this question: why do they seem to violate the laws of our physics? As I relate a series of cases to you, think on different levels. I'll bring up from time to time my own thoughts and observations. You may reach some amazing conclusions. Let's take a journey to France. On July 1, 1965, a French farmer, Maurice Massé, from Valensole, was in his fields at 6 a.m. As he prepared to start his tractor, he heard a noise. A machine had landed on his lavender farming field. He walked towards it, thinking it was a conventional craft. About 20 feet away, he realized it was not. It was the shape of an egg and had a cockpit. It was supported by six legs. Two pilots appeared, and they were dressed in gray suits. They were very short, had human eyes and large heads. Almost no mouth, just thin lips. One of them took a device and pointed it at Massé. As soon as its beam hit him, he was unable to move. After about a minute of immobility, in which the two creatures seemed to be communicating between each other, they re-entered the craft. Massé could see them inside. The object took off and hovered. Then it lifted off like a jet plane. 60 yards away, it totally vanished. He said, one moment the thing was there, and the next moment it was not there anymore. He was in effect paralyzed during the whole incident, unable to move. After about 20 minutes, he regained full strength. As an after effect, he became quite drowsy and remained so for weeks. What I've noted from this case description is that the occupants of these UFOs seem to be able to temporarily manipulate both space and time. There is a consistent pattern of manifestations that almost seem to open up the gates to another dimension. Rational thinking of those who teach logic cannot explain these incidents. Another French sighting was strikingly similar. It occurred in 1954 on September 30th. At 4:30 p.m., a construction crew, eight in total, found themselves in the middle of an amazing incident. One of the team, Georges Gatte, noticed 30 feet away on a slope was a man. His head was covered by an opaque helmet and a visor. In his hand was an object looking like a rod. On his chest, a light. He was standing in front of a large, brightly lit object. It was floating just above the ground. Objects like wings or blades were above the object. Suddenly, the man vanished. He was simply gone. A whistling sound happened, louder than that of the excavator his crew had been working. The object rose up vertically, and then a blue haze appeared. It was gone. He went back to his crew. Four of the men had seen everything. This happened in a remote region. There were no other witnesses. Afterwards, Gatte suffered from headaches, loss of appetite, and he could not sleep. These are all similar effects. The consistency is remarkable. Both witnesses in both French cases experienced real physical side effects. Both had close encounters. These cases are reminiscent of a famous case, that of Betty and Barney Hill. These two witnesses were later hypnotized by Dr. Benjamin Simon, and this was all documented in the book, The Interrupted Journey. A report, number 100-1-61, in the files of the 100th Bomb Wing, Strategic Air Command, Peace Air Force Base, New Hampshire, was very telling. It was prepared by Major Paul Henderson. It contains a very peculiar detail. The objects seen by the Hills had been detected by military radar. It occurred at 0214 local time on 20 September. What they saw visually was this. They were driving on Route 3 near Lincoln, New Hampshire, when they observed through their windshield a strange spherical object above them. The sky was perfectly clear. They reported that the object was traveling at high speed. It changed directions from north to south. Then it stopped and hovered. Both of the Hills used binoculars to view it. Wings with a V-shape appeared on the object. They had red lights on the tips. It started to descend until it was only a few hundred feet above the car. They felt buzzing sounds in their automobile. They continued with their trip, and when they arrived in Ashland 30 miles later, they again heard buzzing sounds, but did not see the object. Afterwards, they both experienced strange dreams and nightmares. They decided to see a psychiatrist, who then found out that the origin of the nightmares was two missing hours of their drive. Under hypnosis, they both described being taken into the UFO itself. Betty Hill recollected under hypnosis that the car had been stopped and that a group of men had come towards them. One opened the door of the vehicle and pointed a device at her. She said it could have been a pencil. She described the men as 5 feet tall to 5 feet four, a gray complexion, like gray paint with a black base. Their lips had a bluish tint. Hair and eyes were very dark. Round faces, broad foreheads. They had eyes with pupils. She reported an experiment had been performed on her. The beings had inserted a long needle into her navel in a medical test. Under hypnosis, she reported the details. She felt pain until the leader made a gesture and stopped the procedures. Betty stated they spoke English with an accent, and Barney said their words and presence were separate experiences. Barney said he did not hear an actual voice. This sounds like an apparition rather than a totally realistic experience. Barney perceived what he heard, but the entities did not speak it, according to his testimony. Betty, on the other hand, claims a strange physical phenomenon. A medical test, however, it reminds us of practices during the Middle Ages. An abduction and a forced medical exam is hostile behavior in any case. These cases so far are almost beyond reason, but there are theories that can explain it all, and I propose at least one of those theories, and that is that these encounters are not extraterrestrial at all, they are other dimensional. Here's a very descriptive case with major details that occurred in Argentina. Eugenio Douglas was driving his truck, a coal truck, through a major rainstorm on October 12, 1963. It was just before dawn. Suddenly, he experienced a bright light on the road ahead of him. It was a single light, a blinding spotlight. He moved the truck. After getting out, he realized the light disappeared, but he could plainly see a metallic craft, circular in size, right above him, no more than 35 feet. Three figures appeared at an opening. They were all tall men with strange headgear. They appeared almost 12 feet tall. A red light flashed to his location and burned him. He fired a revolver, three shots, at the entities and then ran. However, the craft followed him to a nearby village. It changed the street lights. It turned them green and violet. He could also smell a strange odor. He ran to the nearest house. A family was gathered there, and all of the candles in their room and the electric lights turned green. They noticed the smell as well. The street lights had changed color, and so had the house lights. It was pouring rain. A cinematic scene at the very least. Douglas was taken to the local police, and his burns were examined. The police had received numerous calls about the lights. A doctor stated that after his examination of Douglas that the burns appeared to have been caused by a form of radiation. Villagers later visited the spot where the sighting occurred and found footprints nearly 20 inches long. Let's ask this question. How does this phenomenon, as the script and the cases that we've reviewed so far are written, affect our imagination? How does it impact our culture? It's almost as if we are viewing a three-dimensional hologram, but one which has mass. Are we dealing with another dimension that lives in a parallel universe? Can these objects materialize and disappear at will? Are these windows into a different reality? The problem cannot be solved quite yet. We are presented with a strange set of circumstances, and they are currently under analysis. Even at the Pentagon, they were analyzed to obtain some level of understanding, but our observational powers are limited, and so are results so far. A vacuum has been developed, but we know this. In every country since 1946, a considerable number, approaching thousands if not tens of thousands, of these sightings, close to the ground, usually in rural areas, have occurred, and they have left traces, physical traces, and these traces have left various effects on the human observers. The majority of descriptions are those of humanoids. The behaviors are unpredictable and not according to logic. A non-human intelligence is observed. Witnesses have reported messages delivered to their minds directly. Distortions of time and space have occurred. Violations of physical laws accompany most sightings. A parallel time stream seems to exist with these sightings. A very strange encounter happened in 1968. A French physician, whom we'll refer to as Dr. X because he sought anonymity, saw several luminous UFOs from his house. Investigators, including a psychiatrist, a physiologist, and an astrophysicist, confirmed his story. It was before dawn. He was awakened by the noise of his 14-month-old baby. Through the shutters, he saw what he first thought were flashes of lightning. After giving the baby a bottle of water, he inspected the house since there was a heavy downpour. Upon opening a large window that led to the terrace, he first observed the objects. Two of them appeared, and they were shaped like a disc. They were silver, white, and red underneath. What makes this story so fantastic is that during the experience, he was totally healed of two serious injuries that he'd been carrying since the Algerian War. More about this later. But at the time of the sighting, he saw two objects he described almost as spotlights. They continued to move towards each other and then simply merged together as one object. The UFO then flew straight to the doctor and stopped at 200 meters. He watched the object for several minutes, transfixed, and it then tilted and shined a spotlight directly on the doctor. A loud bang occurred, and he said it dematerialized. It left behind a small white cloud. He said it turned into a small white dot and just disappeared. It was only after this that his wife noticed he was no longer limping. A cut on his ankle had completely healed. All swelling and pain totally gone. He then called French ufologist Ami Michel. He arrived 3 days later with an astrophysicist. They took photos of the valley and made sketches of the UFO. They examined the doctor's leg and only saw a faint sign of tissue damage. It looked like it had been completely healed. It had been 10 years since the accident, and he was now in full control of his muscles. However, that same day, he felt a cramping around his navel. 10 days later, it was prickly and red. A dermatologist looked at the area and had no explanation. For 2 years, the doctors had these areas appear. They lasted a few days and occurred about every 3 weeks. Afterwards, the house experienced strange electrical phenomena, with the current turning off and on at will. Dr. X also started experiencing levitation in his bedroom. Finally, he experienced visits from a man who said that he would apparently never age over a period of years. During his outings with this man, he experienced missing time. Details of his physical after effects were reported in the French Academy of Medicine. The paranormal phenomenon which happened to the doctor after the experience is more common than you might realize. His clocks and electrical circuits were all affected. Levitation has been reported in similar cases. This is almost reminiscent of Lourdes and Fatima. That is a whole different story, but has similar elements. Let's ask this question. If you want to bypass the intelligentsia, as well as the religious system of this world, and be undetectable, other than through isolated cases to the military defenses, and simultaneously you want to deeply impact or implant ideas within the society that have far-reaching implications, Wouldn't the scripts followed by the UFO occupants fit this description exactly and precisely? So far, we could posit that UFOs are not objects as we know them, since they violate the laws of physics. They have been seen consistently throughout history, and only in our generation have been identified as connected with the extraterrestrial element. Where they come from may not be a place, but a different dimensional portal. Notice lives are often changed, usually for the worse. Witnesses have difficulty coping. Many remain silent. And these objects have the ability to dematerialize at will. Let's go to our next case. It was November 2nd, 1971, the Johnson Forum at Delphos, Kansas. 16-year-old Ronald Johnson was herding sheep when he, with his dog, witnessed what would become a historic sighting. He suddenly saw a mushroom type of object with many colors and lights. It hovered 75 feet away. It was 2 feet above the ground. It was 9 feet in diameter. It brightened at the base and then took off. He became temporarily blinded. After a few minutes, he regained his sight and ran into his house. His parents were there. They came out and saw the object high in the sky and accelerating. It was the size of half of the full moon. It vanished after a short time. They went to the landing site and observed a glowing ring. Nearby trees were also glowing. The ring continued to glow brightly in the daytime. Mrs. Johnson reached down to touch it and felt her hand becoming numb. She brushed her hand on her leg to remove it and felt the numbing sensation again. It lasted several days. Soil samples were taken for analysis. An unusual white substance permeated the soil. It was analyzed by a respected UFO researcher named Jacques Vallée, who wrote a book I recommend called Dimensions. He theorized it contained a white substance and it contained actinomycetales, an organic organism similar to bacteria or a fungus. There was a high concentration of oxalic acid. It indicated the use of a low-temperature ionization or combustion engine at the site. It also indicated a fuel source of carbon. Elemental carbon contains a high energy density. It's an interesting theory. Let's look at the overall picture for just a moment. When Air Force Project Blue Book existed, it was widely reported they received information on only one out of about every 12 sightings. People didn't trust the government then. I heard a story where in 1971, a UFO sighting occurred and parts of it fell to the ground in Texas. And the individual who was the beneficiary of the parts told his friends, and the story got around. He was then visited by men who identified themselves as Air Force intelligence officers. They requested the materials. They never got them. He didn't trust the government either. This is a common thread. People know the FBI, the CIA, and now, of course, the Pentagon have all had their researchers working on these projects. The reassuring theme is that we've got it under control. Really? Are scientists remaining silent? Of course. Many astronomers must know that they have been tracking unidentified objects and photographing them. They protect their reputations. By denying the mystery, the government is taking serious chances with the public's belief system. This cover-up extends all the way up the ladder to the UFOs themselves. Let's look at one highly unusual case. It was December 3rd, 1967. Herb Schirmer, a patrolman of Ashland, Nebraska, had an experience that deserves to be in the UFO Hall of Fame annals. At 2:30 in the morning, he saw an object on the road ahead. It had flickering lights. He turned on his high beams and it moved away. He returned to his station and wrote in the diary that he had witnessed a UFO incident. He developed a headache, had trouble sleeping. He had a red welt under his left ear. Later, he would be placed under hypnosis. It turns out he had a 20-minute blackout, which he later remembered. He not only saw the object take off, but what happened was he followed it. He continued to drive up a dirt road. He attempted to call police headquarters, but couldn't get through. The object had a silver glow to it. Legs appeared under the craft. It landed. He was paralyzed with fear. Occupants came towards him. They shot a green-colored gas into his car and flashed a bright torchlight at him. He passed out. Under hypnosis, he remembered rolling down a car window and talking to the occupants. They asked him if he was a watchman and what sources of power were there in the area. He went aboard the craft and saw control panels. He saw the emblem of a winged serpent. The winged serpent is a symbol of the gods of Egypt, Phoenicia, China, Persia, and Hindustan. The occupants gave him a lot of information, or even better, let's call it disinformation. They said they arrived from a nearby galaxy. They had bases. They operated by reverse electromagnetism. Finally, he was told that he would not speak wisely or remember about that night. But under hypnosis, he did. Now, are these beings really so powerful? Can they travel above the speed of light? Or do they have a hidden agenda? There are reportedly over 2,000 cases like the ones we've gone over, close contact with the occupants. Usually the craft vanishes, and often hypnosis is required to bring to memory what happened. The extraterrestrial theory is not good enough. It doesn't explain all of these facts. These sightings are hypnotic by nature. Strange lights, colorful lights, even stranger noises. We have plenty of data, but the scientists have no answers. But maybe we have all the answers we need. The solution is hidden in plain sight, right in front of us. For now, I wish you a good day and a good evening. We will continue to explore this subject in its myriad ways and meanings in the near future. In the meantime, buy the Pentagon UFO Report on Amazon, Kindle edition by Gerald Eastwood. Read it and analyze it with all of the intelligence analysis I have provided you. The future will tell the story.